Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting you set for all of Sunday's NFL action. It's the Sunday Spread on the BetQL Network with Super Bowl champion Barrett Brooks, Devin Caney, and your host, Sean Bell. Presented by BetMGM.
All right, baby, it's time. It's the big game. Okay, welcome to the Sunday Spread, where we give you our best bets. We analyze the games. We give Brock Purdy some love, and we hate on Taylor Swift.
Do we? You had to throw that in, right?
You
starting out all bad.
Right? I had to say what I do, okay? I had to say what I do before what anybody else does. Disclaimer, I don't speak for Devin Caney and Barrett Brooks. Apparently, they wouldn't even let it ride for 2 seconds. Before we got into the show.
Yeah, you tried to sneak that one in there. Right.
I did.
Starting off,
it was the third of four, right? I tried to slide in 3-4. Mm. You ignored the Taylor Swift hate thing altogether. It is what it is.
I'm not going to give Taylor Swift hate, okay? I will give Brock Purdy hate.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that later. Well,
you just want to do the opposite of me to just annoy me. That's basically our relationship on the show so far. This entire freaking year. Yeah. Thanks, Devin Caney. What's up, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Good, man. I'm ready for the big game, man. Me and Dan were just talking about what would be the festivities on the big game day.
We're talking about Super Bowl foods.
So I said, I was thinking about putting the wings in, but I said, you know what? I'm going to hold off a bit. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a brisket. I'm going to smoke a brisket.
He's going to get fancy with it.
Yeah, a brisket. After I smoke it, I'm going to cut it up into cubes, make it all fancy. And then I'll call it a charcuterie. I don't know.
Charcuterie. Charcuterie board. You're going to do a charcuterie board?
with the chunks of
ooh,
and then with the cheese there, now some olives there.
Now I'm annoyed. Now I'm annoyed because it's something about the people that work where you work or used to work where you work will give you all this food stuff and here's what I'm cooking. But have you ever gotten an invite to come to the crib and get some food? You are like Derek Gunn 2.0.
I was just gonna say Derek Gunn, the Philly sports reporter, loves, like, you guys will cook really nice food up. You'll post it all over social media.
Right.
And then we just never.
My get bad. You know what?
It's like,
bad.
D Gunn, can we?
Pretty
no.
messed up.
My no, bad. We can't get an invite.
All right, let me give you a formal invite. You're both come formally on, invited.
You see, end of the season.
And you know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
He's also only inviting us after, before the show, Barrett confirmed with me, like, what my, like, he knows I have plans, so he knows I can't come.
Look at this. We went an entire season, ribs, brisket, wings, and this is what you do?
I gave y'all the recipes, though.
The recipe's online. You got to be able to cook the thing.
Well, we don't have the fancy fryers in our house. Like,
right.
I got a pellet smoker. I got an air fryer. That's all I got. So.
What are you talking about? Let's get some promotion here.
Oh, your shirt. This is my company right here. You know, me and my company. It's Brooks Alternative Home Care. We staffing agency.
Okay.
We're in Philly. We're in Jersey, South Jersey, you know, so. If you have needs as far as disabled, elderly,
okay.
sick, you know what I'm saying? We'll supply you with nurses, technicians, you know, techs, whatever you need.
Did you get a hoodie?
From his. No, I didn't know that.
I'm just pointing out Barry Brooks' selfishness throughout this entire season.
I'm never going to turn down a promotional.
I was just checking.
It swung too fast for me. I wasn't ready yet. I was ready to go in on Brock Purdy. It just swung so quick, man.
Hey. I'm spicy today. I'm spicy with the hate today.
Sean started the show and just immediately.
Right.
That was violent. Yeah, immediately. Firing.
Yeah.
I was just annoyed. I'm sorry. I'm just annoyed. Let's actually talk about this game. 49ers, Chiefs. Everyone's surprised about the spread to start off with. The 49ers are favored by 2. It was at 2.5. It went down to 1. Then it popped up back to 2. It seems like it's going to go back to 2.5 before the game starts.
Mm-hmm. First, do you mean surprise that the 49ers are favored or just how small it is?
I am actually.
That they're favored?
Yes.
See, I don't think that's surprising when you look back on their regular seasons. The 49ers were like bullies throughout most of the season where the Chiefs were struggling. I feel like their roles kind of reversed in the playoffs. So recency bias, yeah, I get it. But I also, because I've heard a lot of people surprised that the Chiefs aren't favored. But, to me, it makes sense, honestly.
Well, me, it is the recency bias. But it's all the overall record of the coach and how the coach is. You know, they're talking about him being one of the greatest coaches ever, you know. And when you talk about the coaching aspect of it, and not say anything about Shanahan. Shanahan's a great coach. But when we talk about Shanahan versus Andy Reid,
mm-hmm.
I just think that Andy Reid, Big Red, is the best. He was the best coach this year. And then you look at the best player in the NFL. I'm saying you have the best player in the NFL, the best coach in the NFL. To me, that tends to lean towards them being the favorite.
Yeah.
No matter what the record is.
I'm not surprised because it's been that way. Like, the first time I was surprised with the 49ers is after they lost to the Baltimore Ravens, they were still favored to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Mm. So Vegas has been on this thing no matter what the entire year.
Yeah.
The 49ers are going to go in. They're going to be the favorite team based on their entire body of work. It's a little bit surprising, but at the same time, you're right. Best coach, best quarterback.
Yeah. The best quarterback is big, though.
But I know, but the Chiefs have somehow been able to beat teams that are just better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess you can't say they're better because the Chiefs won, but talent-wise, overall-wise, you look at the Baltimore Ravens, you look at the Buffalo Bills, you look at the San Francisco 49ers, and you go talent for talent, player for player, you go the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, the Bills, are better overall teams.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So that's why I think these teams are favored, because Vegas looks at it and says, this is the better overall team, and they've been better consistently throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the 49ers are likely favored in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I didn't even look at the records. Let me look at their records. You know, what is the 49ers record? They lost four, right?
They've lost four games this year, I believe.
Four games, right.
The Chiefs, I believe, lost six.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
the 49ers
were first seed in the NFC.
Right.
Chiefs were third. The Chiefs, I think, are they're the Chiefs. You know, you can never count out Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and even Travis Kelce. Like they got hot at the right time, but I also think that's credit to their coach.
Yeah, you look at the numbers that you know, Kelce has just his numbers in the postseason are just ridiculous. His numbers are better than receivers' numbers. It's just ridiculous. So
yeah.
Add that with a defense. We're talking about 1A, 1B as far as defensively what both teams have. 1A and 1B. I think that the 49ers have a little bit of an advantage with their defense, but it's not enough that I would say, look, this is going to determine the outcome of a game. They both have great, great defenses.
How much of an advantage is it, and I'll ask you, Barrett, for Patrick Mahomes? I saw where he was asked a question about his routine. And he said, I'm just going to go with my normal Super Bowl routine.
Right?
Like he's been
right,
in the Super Bowl
right.
So many times that he has a routine no matter what.
Right. Uh-huh.
How much of an advantage is that? Again, they did it last year. But you go with Pat Mahomes and the guys, and the 49ers do have guys who've been to the Super Bowl. But, of course, Brock Purdy has never been there. He's facing
right.
things he's never faced. How much of an advantage is that? That, again, players are a routine. You could talk about your routine during weeks leading up to this type of game. But how much of an advantage is that for Patrick Mahomes?
Well, it's a huge advantage because you've been there, done that. You know, you got a young kid in Purdy that's wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, walking around. Look at it. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. And then you got
great
Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah. You got Patrick Mahomes like, yeah, all right. You know what? I'm not going out tonight. You know what I'm saying? I've seen there, been there, done that. I got to focus on this game. I'm trying to focus on history. I'm not worried about all the lights and cameras and action of what's going on. And plus – man, you know, you're talking about a city in which will eat you alive, man. I mean, they have movies on about how Vegas will eat you alive, bro. So, you know, I mean, a team that's not that experienced, who hasn't had that experience of being in the Super Bowl, they might get eaten up by Vegas, bro.
You mean like they're gonna go out and party and
yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I actually think
there was a 49ers player who was talking to media, and he was like, oh, I'll just go out like the first few nights and then I'll reel it in. Like,
and that's it.
Maybe not. Yeah. Where you don't, the Chiefs, I would bet are not even allowed out and know not to go out the week of the Super Bowl.
Well, they wouldn't go out because they've been there and done it
right,
before. So
right.
They were like, all right, we
but
they go
never,
out.
They've never done it in
mistake.
Vegas.
Well, you know, listen.
True.
I mean, it's just literally thinking about that. It was almost taboo to talk about Vegas betting in the NFL in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it. Now there's a team there, mm-hmm. and you can bet on the games. I mean, come mm-hmm. on. That's crazy. That's
yeah.
absolutely nuts that all this stuff is going on now. It's totally different from when I played. Totally different from when I played.
Yeah, I had a bookie when you played.
Right. Right, right.
A little undercover action.
Right. You go to a bookie, you had a call. You know what I'm saying? You had to meet him somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So it's altogether different now, you know, with betting and everything. This is huge to me for the Super Bowl. This is huge because, I mean, when I was playing, you could have bought me with a wooden nickel, you know, that I would have told you you're a liar. It'll never happen. Betting will never be in every state. Betting will never be. There will never be an NFL football team in Vegas. That'll never be. Never. Never be. And lo and behold, both of them has happened. Both of them happened.
I want to ask y'all. I have a theory. I have a theory about who's going to win this game
mm-hmm.
based off of since we're talking about distractions. And I want to see what y'all think. Y'all saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes' father.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, Patrick Mahomes' father, again, something happens with him. Everyone knows, so I'm not, you know, bringing anything new about DUIs, third DUI, and that's an outside distraction. And I brought this up last year. I've never seen a team win who had an outside distraction regardless of how close it was to the team. Right?
Right.
If you think about last year, and I brought this up and someone laughed at me, but I'm like, it's probably not a thing, but it's a thing at the same time. The Eagles had a practice player, and during the Super Bowl run, something happened, of a little bit of a distraction. Mm-hmm. An old practice player gets kicked off. He's dealing with some legal issues. The year before that, you had...
Are you talking about the offensive lineman?
The offensive lineman.
Right, yes.
The year before that, you had Andy Reid's family going through some things during the Super Bowl.
And they lost that one.
They lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I say that to say this. I've never seen a team that had, no matter how close it was to the team or not, having public off-the-field distraction go ahead and win the game. Like, I challenge anyone listening to this or you guys to rack your brains to think about a situation where someone had, during the Super Bowl, during a two-week break, there was a distraction. Again, maybe it's far from the team where it's a player's family member, but it becomes public. I've never seen that team win. always said to myself, if there's any distraction, anything, someone who used to play there, a family member, that team's going to lose.
You might be right. Well, my Super Bowl, we had a distraction. But it was a double distraction. Joey Porter got into a fight with Stevenson, the tight end. So he whooped his ass. So it was probably a double distraction, you know, both guys.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm thinking more of a legal.
Right.
But then you look at the Chiefs, and technically, like with the Taylor Swift thing, they've had distractions all season long.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of the legal distraction. I'm not
legal
thinking about, you know, a player fighting a player.
And then the 49ers are out here complaining about their practice.
Or fame stuff. Yeah, that's true. But I'm thinking about the legal aspect. I've never seen – anytime – it's almost like the NFL is like, we're not going to allow the team with the legal
Look at the Eagles Super Bowl.
To win.
The Eagles Super Bowl. What was the cornerback's name? He didn't play in the first half because he got curfew, messed up a curfew with New England.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. That whole distraction right there, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they needed him, too.
Worst way. They needed him. It's just a random thought. Yeah. I didn't know if you guys can think of something off the top of your head, but I've always said that to myself.
And
it probably has nothing to do with the game, but I've just never seen it.
It could be a coincidence. But, even the Eagles last year, because it was a practice player, then, they also had Jonathan Gannon, which isn't necessarily a legal distraction, but it's, there's an outside factor in play. I get your theory.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else at the top of my head.
Yeah, I feel like it shouldn't mean anything, but at the same time, I've never seen that team go on to win.
Well, I'd say what,
Did Tom Brady win a Super Bowl after he got divorced?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. But that wasn't necessarily because of legal stuff. That was just...
Well, he went out and bought a yacht, too. Magic anymore. He went out and bought a yacht, too, so, you know what I'm saying? Like our owner, you know, our owner went and bought a yacht. The Eagles owner bought a yacht the day after they lost the game.
Just an interesting sidebar with that. But, again, a lot of storylines for the NFL right now. Brock Purdy, third youngest QB to start a Super Bowl. Again, how does that work out? You know what I mean? How does that work? How is he going to be poised under pressure?
I also believe he's the highest picked in a draft quarterback to start a Super Bowl. He was picked later than any other quarterback.
Right.
Oh yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. Can't be any later than that.
Last. You're not talking about Kurt Warner being somebody,
lowest draft pick to ever start in the big game.
Yeah. So that's another storyline. See how their heads are going to be, but I'm interested to see if there's going to be something else. I did another distraction. Another legal something because again,
what do you know?
At Vegas, I'm just.
What are you trying to
I'm
say?
I'm just throwing it out there. This Vegas. Is Vegas.
If anything happens, we gotta look into Sean.
What's that?
Somebody's family member is gonna do something. Is gonna be public.
Yeah.
What's that? That bachelor party? That movie.
The Hangover.
The Hangover. Yeah, The Hangover. Man, anytime we got a movie like The Hangover, bro.
And you got to make it back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, movie plot. Let's pitch it to Hollywood.
We got
to
make it and play in the Super Bowl. All right.
I can see the Brock Purdy kicking it over Mike Tyson's house.
Exactly. All right. Let's take that. Is a good movie. We need to pick that. All right. We will come back with some actual analysis of this game. What we think is going to go down. What we think the Chiefs need to do to get a dub. What we think the 49ers need to do to get a dub. And what we actually think is going to possibly happen in this one. All right. This is the Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks. Welcome back to the Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks. You over there? You okay?
I'm good. Okay? I'm good. Drank water at the wrong time.
Big game. All right, big game. 49ers, Chiefs. Battle of two big dogs. Battle of a team trying to get a dynasty. Right? I feel like, what's a dynasty? How many chips? Three, right?
Three. You got to say three, yeah.
Yeah. They got two chips now. Three makes you a dynasty.
So they got So they got three. They have four appearances, right?
Yes.
In the last one.
This is
like,
their fourth appearance, and they've
like
won
a
two.
Small amount
two
of
and
time.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years?
I feel
I
like at this
is.
Point, it feels like they just go every year.
Yeah.
Like it's just a routine.
That's why, you know, you see what Mahomes said. You know, like he's like, yeah, I'll just go with my regular Super Bowl. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's crazy if you think like that. I mean, even look at the 49ers. You know, they made it to the Super Bowl, but they've been in an NFC Championship game for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I was sitting back and, you know, of course, everybody knows I'm an Eagles fan. You know what I'm saying? And Steelers, but Eagles, you know. And you look at what Big Red did here. I mean, five NFC Championship games. But a lot of people right here still said he didn't win anything. I'm like, come on now.
I'm people.
Right, see? I mean, five
NFC
Championship
games?
No,
I don't discredit that. And because I think last week you mentioned that you called the 49ers a dynasty. Like, I just
I didn't say that.
You
I said,
you did.
I said,
you said a budding dynasty.
I said they're trying to create a dynasty.
Right. And then I said, how have they even created it? They haven't won a Super Bowl.
You got to win one to create. You got to win one to get to the point of getting to a dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying with Andy Reid here in Philadelphia, Big Red gets a lot of love. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, I think Andy Reid seems like a great person. And I'm not discrediting that he brought a team to the NFC Championship game. I'm just saying he went on and built a literal dynasty in Kansas City. Like, and I don't think that we should just give him all the love that people seem to do here in Philadelphia.
So let me ask you all these two questions then. A lot of people have been asking this. Mm. Who needs this more, Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan? What?
Neither. Andy Reid certainly doesn't need
their,
it.
Not, I mean, for their legacy.
To be cemented.
Right? They're
like,
both
yeah.
fighting for different things. Kyle Shanahan is fighting to be considered an elite, right? Like, I think a lot of people consider him elite, but a lot of people question it, saying he can't get over and win the big game. So this would take him to a totally different stratosphere. Meanwhile, Andy Reid is chasing goats, right? So if he loses this, he may lose the Bill Belichick, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I don't think Andy Reid's going to lose anything. I would say Kyle Shanahan definitely needs it more to cement himself in like the, you know, I don't want to say GOAT coach category, because I think even if he wins, I don't think he'll be up there with Andy Reid and Belichick in that level of coach. But I think just for respect around the league, and his legacy, his personal legacy, Kyle Shanahan needs it more. Because Andy Reid, like, even if they lose, he's definitely already broken, like, win records and playoff appearances and AFC championship games. Like, he's good. He doesn't need it.
Okay. I would say Shanahan simply because he's trying to get the funk of two losing Super Bowls off of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been to two Super Bowls, and it's been pretty bad in both Super Bowls. You know, he couldn't get his offense to score, even though he was just an offensive coordinator with Atlanta. He couldn't get his offense to score anything in the second half. And, you know, and they got beat because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of defense, you still can score. And he let that Patriots defense shut him down in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then he went again on his own as a head coach, and he totally took the game out of his quarterback's hands. Totally just ripped the game out of his hands. Did not trust anything that this quarterback could do. And they lost the game too. I mean, neither team could really score. But, you know, that's he's trying to get that funk off of him. He's trying to say, yes, I've coached. I'm an elite coach. You know, I want my flowers now. You know, I'm in the Super Bowl again. This is my second Super Bowl that I've been to as a head coach. I went to one when I was a coordinator. But I want to cement myself as one of the top coaches in the NFL.
I'm going to say Andy Reid. And I'm going to say Andy Reid. Everything that y'all said was right. Kyle Shanahan, to me, is 44. You got 25 years to cement a legacy. Andy Reid's legacy is already cemented. But, again, he's chasing goats, right? So, for Andy Reid, clock is ticking if he's trying to go say, I'm better than Belichick, I'm better than Bill Walsh.
Right.
So, I feel like he only has a certain amount of time to get there. Mm-hmm. Right. So if he and it's again, you assume that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be there damn near every year. But again, he's only got 7-8 more years to be like, I'm better than those guys. Again, he's already Hall of Famer, top five head coach of all time. I get that. But he only has a limited amount of time to jump those goats. And so that's why I think because he only has a limited amount of time, every time he goes is so important if he wants to reach that status. Now, if he doesn't care about that status, then mm-hmm. he ain't got to win jack squat. But if he does care about that squat status, he got to go. As far as Kyle Shanahan goes, he's been coaching for 8 years. He's 44.
Right.
Like, yeah. people are going to criticize you, question you, and say you ain't it. But you still got 20-something more years to get where you want to go.
Well, then you make the same comparison like with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes right now is he's chasing Brady the best.
Well, that was my next question. You think Pat or Brock needs it more? Because I think it's similar in the fact that one's trying to, you know what I mean? They're almost the same conversation. One's trying to arrive, and the other one is chasing goats.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with the same team and say Brock Purdy needs it more for the 49ers. I mean, even throughout the season, his nickname is Mr. Irrelevant. I think people count him out, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel gross even saying it. But I do think, like, Brock Purdy to really, I don't want to say cement, but solidify himself as a legitimate quarterback. Like, he will always garner the debate of is he actually elite or is he just surrounded by an elite team and a system quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's almost similar to, I feel, a lot of the conversations we were having about Jalen Hurts last year with the Eagles. Like, is he a really great quarterback or is his team around him just really great? So I think Brock Purdy definitely needs it more because Patrick Mahomes, he's trying to catch up or not trying, but, you know, we're going to compare him to Tom Brady and other great quarterbacks in the NFL's history. But Brock Purdy just needs to prove that he is here to stay as a starting quarterback in the league.
You know, I'm going to go Mahomes simply because.
Also, Brock Purdy needs to get paid, right?
Right.
He's doing it for a bigger paycheck. Right. He's still splitting rent with a roommate.
Right. Yeah. When you look at what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished over the last 6 years and you compare it to Brady's numbers over the last 6 years, they're tit for tat. In fact, if you really look at the numbers, besides Super Bowl wins, he's actually better as far as the numbers. You know, yards, touchdown, all that stuff. He actually has a little bit of a better career than even Tom Brady at this point at year six. Mm-hmm. Tom had one more Super Bowl, but this is year six. If he wins the Super Bowl, then they'll have the same record, same amount of Super Bowl wins, and his numbers are a little better than even than Brady's record. So to me, you know, he's the GOAT, man. I mean, at this point, you know, he's outperformed really his contract. Remember, he signed that contract for $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's outperformed that $500 million contract.
Dog. Time to re-up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's like
that's crazy. We're talking about
highest paid quarterback at this point per year. So it's I'm in the. It's funny because there's such similar conversations, but I'm going the opposite, and I'm going with Brock Purdy because he got to get paid. Mm-hmm. If he don't perform, and he goes out like Jimmy G went out, they may be like, oh, we might need to go get another quarterback.
Yeah.
If he wins the Super Bowl, I mean, this is a $200 million game for him.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why I'm like, all right, forget about legacies and stamping yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is third year?
This is Brock's second year.
Second year.
Yeah, he's rookie last year.
Yeah, this is his second year. So yeah.
They still got another year that they don't have to pay him. But this will cement him as far as being – a top 10.
I'm a starter.
Top five. Yeah.
Like, I'm a legit starter.
Right.
And you got to pay me regardless of what happens next year if I win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or somebody's going to pay me. So that's why I think it's more to Brock, because Brock can go from, I'm going to have a Disney movie about me in 20 years.
Right.
And $300. I mean, Kurt Warner got one.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm going to have a Disney movie about me.
Like Brock.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. Like Brock. And it's going to be $250 million. But if he loses, he can go out like Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Like, it's that stark of a difference. Like, Pat is like, all right, if they don't consider you the GOAT, then they'll consider you number two.
Mm-hmm.
Brock is like, you can be out the league in 5 years, or you can be, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
A Disney whatever. So it's two drastically different situations as far as what each team needs in this game.
That's, you know, just put in perspective, Big Ben – was at the same point in his career that Brock is in. He actually ran off. He won 15 straight games. His rookie year, 15 straight games. Mm-hmm. His rookie year went back there, and we got bounced by the eventual cheating Patriots. The next year he won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So he kind of cemented himself as the guy in Pittsburgh. And, you know, from that point on, he was Big Ben. That's when he cemented himself as Big Ben right then. Before, he was just Ben Roethlisberger. Well, Brock could be that dude. He wins the Super Bowl, I can no longer say, oh, he's a system guy. Because it has nothing to do with the system.
Right.
When you're starting in the Super Bowl and you beat a team with the best quarterback and the best head coach, that means you are that work. So, I mean, I have to, in our wrap-up show, I have to bow down to you and say, hey, I had to eat my crow. I put
Welcome.
Some hot sauce on it and everything. I'll eat that crow, bro.
Welcome. Ooh, they better not win the Super Bowl for nothing. there's going to be all type of antics next week if they win a Super Bowl. I'm going to let y'all know right now.
Oh, God. Are you going to come in like a full 49ers uniform? Like,
I don't know.
Ready to go.
I don't know. I got to see. Like I don't know.
I will change the code on that door. And we'll be doing this show without him.
I got to figure something out because I don't have a jersey or nothing like that. So I got to figure something
out.
You
call yourself a fan and you don't have a jersey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Never been a jersey person.
And he's not like he's a Fairweather fan. He has been a 49er fan since I've known him.
I could come in here with a Patrick Willis jersey. I don't have a current.
You don't have a current
one. I don't have a current individual.
Wow.
My rule is you got to be a Hall of Famer for me to buy your jersey.
Bro, Patrick Willis, if he played just a couple more years, he would definitely be a Hall of Famer.
He should be a first. All right. I almost got mad right here. I almost went on a rant
I'm going to go
on a rant later on tonight if they don't put him in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He's first team all decade. All right. First team all decade. He has 5 all pros, 7 Pro Bowls, and he's not in the Hall of Fame right now. What are we doing here? He was the best linebacker for a decade and only played 8 years. How is he not there?
Well, I mean, that's
linebacker hate.
That's Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp played 6 years and he was the best receiver, even with Jerry Rice playing during the same time. The numbers are so damn close. Why isn't he a Hall of Famer? Because he only played 6 years. But then I look at Terrell Davis. He played
exactly
6 years, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, this is a hot take. I don't feel like Terrell should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't know.
Why are we talking about the Hall of Fame right now?
Because we're talking about linebackers.
He's talking about the 49ers, what I'm going to wear. Patrick Willis came up, and then we went into the Hall of Fame.
I'm changing the code if they win.
I went into a Hall of Fame rant because – Patrick Willis is up once again as a finalist for the Hall of Fame. And they'll
be welcome to the Sunday Spread, brought to you by Devin Caney and Barrett Brooks. Sean, SB is outside the door right now trying to get in. We're not letting him in because they won the Super Bowl. I changed the code. We'll just do the show without him.
We're still getting hate on the 49ers for 2 straight hours.
I refuse to let him in the door.
Wait, can I ask you, as a 49ers fan, how do you defend them complaining already about their practice field? Like, come on. Like, they're really leaning into the 49ers whole narrative here.
No, but that's legitimate.
The Eagles and Chiefs played on a field that was crappy for the Super Bowl last year. Like, for the game.
So, because – and you had a right – and you had a right to – you did complain.
Fans complained.
The players also complained. But you'll have a right to complain that one team gets an NFL facility – and I get a college facility and the field is terrible. Like, that's something that you should complain about. You're just mad that they're complaining in general because you're a 49er hater.
They complain a lot.
But that is like, wouldn't you complain, Barrett? Like, yo, I could tear an ACL on this terrible field and this terrible college practice field that y'all got me practicing on all week long.
Well,
that's a problem.
I thought they chose to practice out there.
Well, yeah, but...
to limit distractions.
They chose to practice out there under the...
But then you can't complain about the Chiefs getting an NFL facility if the 49ers chose to practice.
Yeah, but their facilities, they were told that their facilities would be up to par. Like, when you chase, okay, we'll play over there. All right, we're going to put in a whole field for you. Just like we're going to make sure we refilled everything at their practice facility also.
That's crazy.
But ours is trash, and you did their field correctly?
All right. Well, we kind of did the same thing. When I won my Super Bowl... we practiced in Pontiac, and they practiced at Ford Field. You know, Seattle practiced at Ford Field. But we wanted to be – I mean, they made it a point to put us out there at Pontiac.
Further out.
Because we wanted to be away from all the distractions.
Do the field properly.
Yeah.
Like, if Debo's – I know y'all hate Debo. If Christian McCaffrey tears his ACL because the field is bad,
right?
Then what, NFL? Then what problem do you have on your head?
Do you still think he's an MVP?
Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
No, Lamar Jackson's going to win.
Okay.
I know that's going to happen, but I think Christian McCaffrey has a good argument for it.
Absolutely.
And based on if you included playoffs, he probably would be an MVP. But of course, it's a regular season award. All right, when we come back, we'll actually break down the game instead of talking about me being mad about the Hall of Fame game. The Hall of Fame introductions coming up this weekend. All right, listen, the Sunday spread: Devin Caney, Barry Brooks, Sean Bell. I promise you, we're gonna break down these games and break down some of the bets that you can make in this game coming up. Welcome back to the Sunday spread. It's the big game, and we're talking about the big game, obviously. Barry Brooks, Devin Caney, Sean Bell, presented by BetMGM. Before we get into some of these bets, again, 49ers favored by 2 in this game. Barrett, I'll start with you. Break down the game a little bit. How do you expect this thing to go?
Yeah, well, I don't expect this game to be a high-flying game. You know, a lot of points scored, because we got two of the best defenses in the league, you know. This was a defensive team in Kansas City this year. The defense really held this team up. And because of that, I think, you know, that's where the game will be won, in the defensive side of the ball. And it's all about stopping the run. Neither team stops the run well. Neither one. And we got two really good running backs that can really take control of the game. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to go out for props, I think prop betting will be definitely great when you go out. You know, the running backs, you know, Isaiah Pacheco. Then you got, you know, CMC.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the game is going to be won, in the trenches with those running backs running on these defenses. Because if you can get a running game going, it'd be a lot smoother for your offense, number one, because now you can take control of the clock, and it'll be all about clock management. You know, which coach is going to be able to dictate tempo enough to have the clock be in their favor? Because you don't want the other team offense on the field. If you can stop on the defensive side of the ball, that's where the game is going to be won at.
What are you looking at in this, Steph?
I mean, I keep going back and forth on which team I like to win and cover the spread here. When I first saw these matchups, and like we mentioned this start of the show, I wasn't shocked that the 49ers were favored, because while the Chiefs have been winning and been impressive, as they always are in the postseason, the 49ers were bullying teams throughout the regular season. I think it comes down to Brock Purdy. I do think he got lucky, especially, actually in both the Lions game and when they faced the Packers. I mean, he had got on his side on that one play where it like bounced off someone's helmet and somehow turned into a complete pass. So he's got to be on his stuff come Sunday. Brock Purdy cannot make mistakes against this Kansas City Chiefs defense that is, I mean, both these defenses are great, but especially in terms of blitzing the quarterback, I do think the 49ers have the advantage there. The Chiefs will blitz a lot. Chris Jones, obviously extremely formidable. Brock Purdy is the best quarterback in the league against the blitz. It almost seems like this 49ers team has an answer for every weapon or factor that the Chiefs can throw at them, right? So you have Chris Jones and the D-line getting after Brock Purdy. Well, Brock Purdy is good against the blitz. You have, you know, a pretty good pass game. Well, that doesn't seem to bother them because they have Brandon Ayuk, they have Deebo Samuel, they have Christian McCaffrey who can run it. Like, they do have answers for everything that the Chiefs can throw at them. At the end of the day, though, it's Patrick Mahomes and it's Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, and I know that this is not analytics or statistically driven. They just find ways to win. And I learned my lesson in the AFC Championship game when I was so bullish on the Ravens winning and not just, and like winning by at least 7 points. I thought the Ravens were going to win by a lot. And I was wrong. So because of that, I am scared to bet against the Chiefs. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a good one to watch. I don't know if it'll be necessarily super high scoring, though. Like, I think it's going to come down to the wire, maybe like a 21-17 final score here. And I can't, I'll decide by the end of the show which team I think is going to be on the winning side of that one, though.
You guys know who I have. San Francisco 49ers to win this game.
As a fan or as a analyst?
Both.
Okay.
Both. This actually lines
both
up.
The head and the heart are aligned.
Yes, are aligned in this. And originally, the head said the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I saw some things and read some things that made me sort of change what my head was going to think in this game. One of those things would be Brock Purdy against the blitz. He's first when it comes to completion percentage against the blitz in the entire league. So when you blitz him, he knows how to recognize where it's coming from and get the ball out quickly to the people he needs to get it to. So I think that's going to be important in this game against East Magnolia and all the things they do. Mm-hmm. The other thing I got from Mina Kimes, shout out to Mina Kimes, who does a fantastic job.
Love her.
The 49ers are number one in the league and when running the ball per carry with their zone running game.
Okay.
When they have a zone running play, they're number one in league yards per game. Kansas City Chiefs defense is 31st, okay. Right? And you know what Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, and that lineage does, that zone running. We talked about Terrell Davis earlier.
Yep.
That's what they do. That's how they get a lot of their big plays from the running game with that zone scheme. And the Kansas City Chiefs are second to last in the league when it comes to dealing with that zone scheme. So if the 49ers come out and continue to run that same scheme that they do, I expect Christian McCaffrey to have some big runs in this game and sort of enable them to dominate the time of possession while getting big plays when running their offense. So you set up that zone scheming with the play action that's going to allow Brock Purdy to work in a set in a comfort situation and allow Brock Purdy to have second and five, third and two. And I think they'll be able to be in that type of situation throughout this entire game and score more points against the Kansas City Chiefs that we've been used to seeing the Kansas City Chiefs give up this entire postseason run.
Well, you can say that the opposite way also. Throwing the ball against this 49er defense is something that you don't want to do because they have guys up front that can light you up, you know what I'm saying? So
they're first in the league in interceptions on wide receivers.
Exactly. So when you put those things together, what do? You run the ball. They've set a game plan on how to beat the 49ers, and that's running the ball right at them. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it, you know, or getting the ball to the outside. They've been exposed by Dallas. They've been exposed by the Ravens. They've been exposed by the Lions. They were exposed by Green Bay on running the ball effectively, you know, and they're going to take that same game plan. Then you have Isaiah Pacheco. He runs angry.
Mm-hmm.
Angry. And that's all they need to get him going. And you keep Brock Purdy off the field. And then you have the best quarterback in the NFL. It's going to be tight. I mean, I love the linebackers that these guys have. Love the linebackers. You know, this is a game in which, you know, I do see the guys like Fred Warner having a great game. But I think he's going to be so tied up on trying to stop Travis Kelce that the run is going to take second fiddle to it. So it's going to be hard for them to stop it. But see, I don't know if they can stop it.
But see, the difference is I think the 49ers, them giving up explosive runs has been a more of a late thing that I think they can correct, as opposed to the Kansas City Chiefs have been bad against the zone running scheme the entire season.
Right.
Right? The 49ers, most of the season have been great against the run. Right. If I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were a top five team in the regular season.
Oh, and
to stopping the run.
Yeah, let me take Dallas out of that.
Yeah, right. Like Dallas wasn't running the rock against them. So
right.
He says opponents have been averaging 159 rush yards per game versus Niners in the playoffs. Yes. So in the playoffs they've been dominant. But I do think they can fix that because that's not who they were the entirety of the regular season,
right,
with the exception of one or two games.
Well, the reason teams are running on them,
they can fix it.
Right. The reason teams are running on them because you can't pass on them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's you can't pass on them because Chase, Bosa, controlling things up front. But then that secondary, man, I tell you what, man, I didn't know how good Tre'Davious Ward was until this year.
This is his best year of his career.
He's blanking receivers. You know what I'm saying? Just blanking them. And if he can get on Rice and stop Rice, it'll be a long day for Kansas City. Long day.
Because, again, if he's on Rice and then you put – and you let Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw blanket Travis Kelce, then Patrick Mahomes is really going to have to make magic. It's so important for Isaiah Pacheco to have over 90 yards in this game.
No question.
In order for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No
if they
question.
Hold Isaiah Pacheco, in my opinion, to lower than that, they're going to have a difficult time winning, which is crazy because they got Patrick Mahomes throwing the rock.
Right.
But again, Patrick ain't got, you know, the big play wide receivers that he needs to score on that San Francisco defense consistently.
Kansas City is one receiver, really, who the Niners and opponents have had to worry about all season, and it's Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One player who hasn't really been in this position before, especially with his team, the Chiefs. But like Travis Kelce, you talk about getting hot at the right time. He has played so well throughout the postseason. He's had over 70 yards in each playoff game. He was 11 for 11 in receptions last week.
Come on now.
116 yards, a touchdown. Like, I just feel like he's, even no matter how good the defense is that he's going up against, it doesn't matter when he's locked in like he was last week and likely will be for the Super Bowl. So I do feel like Travis Kelce, and especially if his girl Taylor is there cheering him on, I know the stats are better or whatever when she's in the building. He's just someone you can never count out.
Right.
And Niners defense, fourth against tight ends. They held the position to 86.3 rating, but they have given up some big yards to tight ends throughout the season.
Yeah, again, it's going to be a lot of blanketing Travis Kelce. It's Travis and Isaiah Pacheco, right? Like, it's simple.
Well, yeah.
It's simple because that's hard to – everyone's trying to figure that out, but it's those two individuals.
Yeah.
I really thought that the Ravens would be able to do it. But, I mean, some of the catches he had in that Ravens game were ridiculous.
Right, and the Ravens defense was probably the best defense that Mahomes and that Chiefs offense had faced all season long.
No question.
And he did it against him, so can't count him out.
He did. So let's look at some of these just upfront numbers before we break down some of the particular props. 47.5. I hear a lot of unders from you guys. That's basically a 27-20 game. Would you go over or would you go under?
I'm going under. I mean, the last time they played in the Super Bowl, what was it?
31-20?
Yep, 31-20. And I think that the defenses are a lot better in this game than 2020. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go under as well. You have two really good defenses going against each other. Offenses that I just don't – I think there's going to be a lot of running in this one because it's probably the biggest weakness for both of the defenses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a super high-scoring affair. Mm-hmm. I don't see a shootout happening.
Both of y'all are against what the percentages are right now. The over is 65%.
Really?
That's where the bettors are leaning, with the over.
But I feel like that's – I'm curious what the trend – you definitely don't know this off the top of your head, but like the trend in people taking the overs, I feel whenever it's two good teams, regardless of how good the defenses are, I feel like a lot of fans and bettors just assume, like, I'm going to take the over because it's going to be a shootout. And that's not necessarily the case, right? Like, these aren't two teams that often had shootouts throughout this season. It was like the 49ers would score a lot, but that's because they were up by like three touchdowns on teams throughout the regular season. I feel like most of the Chiefs games have actually been pretty close ones.
Yeah,
but I'm going the over too. In my mindset, it is Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid have 2 weeks to prepare. Right, so you get two offensive geniuses 2 weeks to prepare. I expect there to be more offense than not. Right, like I expect for there to be wrinkles and some tricks that the defense just wasn't expecting, that they brought out just for this game in order to score touchdowns. And so that's what I expect. Especially like last year, you had particular plays that Andy Reid brought out. He scored a touchdown on a similar play twice last year that we haven't seen all year long. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, that's just game planning, scheming. There's almost nothing you could do about that. That's just Andy Reid being brilliant and getting 14 points because he's smarter than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think that can happen in this game to push it over a 27-20. Not much, but over a 27-20. All right, when we come back, we'll break down some of the touchdown props. You got a touchdown parlay for us?
I can put one together really.
A little parlay. You've been hitting them all a lot of the year. You hit a bunch of them, so we need some more of that. We'll break down some of those individual props coming up on the Sunday Spread. All right, once again, welcome back to Sunday Spread. Barrett Brooks, Sean Bell, Devin Caney, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Let's get to some of these player props. All right, let's finally get to it. Touchdowns. Dev, I got to start with you. You've been an anytime TD parlay queen.
Yes.
Let me know. Like, what are some of the people you're looking at as far as parlays? Of course, Christian McCaffrey's minus 225.
So, there are two players that if you want to get really risky with it, you can go to score two touchdowns. Like, if you really want that value, of course, it's Christian McCaffrey, which at this point, I don't even know how valuable that really could be because I feel like he does that all the time. And Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has scored multiple touchdowns in several games throughout this season. So, off the top of my head, and if you want to combine these, you can, but also if you just want to take it, choose and pick which ones you want to take, that's fine too. I think it's going to be a run heavy game, and I also think it's going to be a lot of action for both tight ends. So I like Isaiah Pacheco to get at least one touchdown, Christian McCaffrey like I just mentioned, Travis Kelce like I just mentioned, and George Kittle. I know George Kittle had a really quiet NFC championship game, but I think he is because of that, I think he's going to want to come out there and prove himself in this big game. So I like him getting a touchdown. I also like taking his over on receiving props. in this one. I think he wants to prove, like, hey, I know Travis Kelce gets all the credit here, but I'm also one of the best tight ends in the game right now. So give me some respect in this big game.
It's weird because George Kittle is one of those guys who's like, nah, I don't need to catch the rock. Mm-hmm. I'll just block and pancake Aiden Hutchinson, a defensive lineman, and I'll be happy and happy-go-lucky. It's one of those things where you're like,
give me a first down here and there. Yeah.
If he was more selfish, it'd be like, right, his numbers would be ridiculous. But right, because he's just like, whatever, I'll block. It's hard. And sometimes he has those games where he's just like, nah, he's just blocking today. Mm-hmm. Which is frustrating to bet on him sometimes because I'm like, I mean, of course he's going to get plus 50. And then,
yeah,
you know what I mean? All he wants to do is just give you one first down, one first down pose. The rest of the time, he just wants to be Debo on defensive ends. He just wants to be flat back at defensive ends. That's crazy. You know, the Iowa tight ends, bro.
Iowa tight ends. So what any ones that you like?
Anytime touchdown for Debo Samuels. I just think he's that spark plug for this team, man. He gets them going. And when he has a great game, the offense is rolling. And then, of course, CMC. Christian McCaffrey's going to get at least two. You know, that's just how he does, you know, goes about his business. But then, like you said, Travis Kelce, he'll be the same way. Travis Kelce is one of those guys who he does everything. I mean, they have, you know, plays for him, you know, because he's so good at figuring out where he's supposed to be as opposed to where the play is sending him. Mm-hmm. And they just have a connection. You know, both he and Mahomes have a connection. So he's going to get the ball to Kelce regardless. And for some reason, I keep thinking, you know, Kyle Juszczyk. You know what I mean? He is.
It's a little risky one. I don't even know if he's on the board.
Well, man, he's not on the board for a touchdown, man. But I'm just saying, if there was a guy on the outskirts, I would go with it. Just like his receiving yards. His receiving yards are like 4.5. I'd put money on that because he's going to find his way into being a pivotal guy in this game.
I see. He usually comes up in some clutch situations.
Yeah.
I feel like a punk by just being like, do I just do CMC and Isaiah Pacheco?
I know. Like, so that's when you easy. Ask me for a touchdown parlay, obviously the easiest one, and probably the best odds, but also lowest value, is going to be the two running backs because you know that they're both going to get so much action right in this game, given the way that they play and their talent, but also the opposing defenses. But that's also boring, you know? You want to spice it up. You need some risk in there.
I like Debo a lot. And we'll talk about this later, but he's my dark horse MVP candidate.
Really?
49ers are their best when Debo's going crazy.
No question.
Because he's the...
I just said, I mean, you're right.
He's the least game plannable individual.
Yep.
Because of how he's able to break tackles, do things in open... He can do not even open field, but just in tight quarters. Shake somebody off, break a tackle, stiff arm somebody and go. And he'll play running back, wide receiver. Like, he's that guy that when he's on, he looks like the best player on the field. I know Eagles fans don't want to hear that. But
he does.
You saw him in Philly. Like, he looks like the best player on the field, even over Christian McCaffrey, when he's getting a rock and he's on.
We've seen what the 49ers look like when he's not on the field.
Yeah.
Like, they're so much more productive offensively when Debo Samuel's on the field. But also, I feel like Brandon Ayuk doesn't get the respect he deserves almost because of Debo Samuel.
Yep.
Like, Brandon Ayuk is hands down the most consistent receiver that the Niners have and Brock Purdy has to get the ball to. And I feel like because Debo is so dominant when he's out there, he's more versatile. You know, he can be a running back type receiver as well. Brandon Ayuk, like, throw some respect on his name, throw some respect on his props because I think he could have a big game as well.
Yeah, you need him. He's actually the guy to stretch the field. I mean, if it weren't for him against Detroit, if he didn't make that catch in Detroit where it bounced off the guy and hit him in the head, and if he hadn't made that, I doubt seriously that we'd be talking about the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that kind of turned things around. That catch right there turned things around.
Yeah. But by the way, Kyle Juszczyk, 10-1.
10-1?
Score a touchdown.
I can't do it, bro.
Only fullback in the league?
Let me write.
Is he the only person that's technically a fullback?
That's why he makes a Pro Bowl every year because nobody got fullbacks anymore. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And the guy from the Ravens, you know.
Yeah.
Both of those guys.
Yeah. Who?
Let me write this down. From Ravens.
McCard is his name.
He's a fullback.
He looks just like
I forgot his name.
He looks like he's a
Patrick Ricard. Yeah, Patrick Ricard. I said McCard.
Looks like a defensive lineman. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So let's go passing yards. Patrick Mahomes, 261.5. Let's go. Over, under.
Barrett, you go first.
I'm gonna go, yeah. I am gonna go with the over with that. Mm-hmm. I'm going because I can see I can see Rashee Rice having a huge game for like he's taking for like $120. $120.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well,
you just gave Tavarius Ward a whole lot of love.
Yeah.
And then now you're saying Rashee Rice is going to get over 120
because he gets that. A little too handsy, and that's a problem. He gets too handsy. So I'm writing down Rashee Rice, $120. Because okay. We're going to talk about this, mm-hmm. And then I'm also going to see Travis Kelce for about 90.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, again, we'll get to the tight end.
What was the number?
261.5. I have under. Just because that's
61.5.
I have under because that's the way they've been playing. It's let's run the rock. They haven't had the explosive offensive plays. Pat Mahomes hasn't had too many games, period, over the last 10 games of him throwing for over 261.5. Mm-hmm. 49ers, again, have been great against the pass, suspect against the run. So I think they lean into that big time. So I think he goes under the 261.5 mark. He had 262, by the way, against the Miami Dolphins. He had, trying to make sure I get it correct, he had 262 against the Miami Dolphins.
What do you have last week against the Ravens?
He had 215 against the Bills, and then he had, again, that was a 7-10 game. He had 241 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. Wild card, 262. His regular season average, 261.4. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
49ers defense holding quarterbacks to the fourth lowest rating all season, sub-80. Mm-hmm. Mahomes threw his career high interceptions this season.
And two guys you guys don't, really, really care about, but Noah Gray and Justin Watson.
Noah Gray came through for me like it was a random game in the regular season. I chose a Noah Gray prop. Yep. I don't know why. And he came through. It was like over 10 yards.
And the reason I say that because those two are not going to be looked at the defense as somebody that can beat them. So, man, there are going to be times where they're going to be running wide open. We know how good Patrick Mahomes is. They're going to be wide open because everybody's going to be focusing on Kelce and Rice, and those guys tend to have big games when it happens.
Well, and that's why for your Rice prop, I kind of just like push back on that. I think he very well could have a big game, but I also think because the Chiefs just don't have that many options, like reliable options to get the ball to in the pass game. You have Kelce, you have Rice, and then, that's it.
But then you got, the last Super Bowl they had in 2020, they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. He just turns it on, and that's one thing. It's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. I know. But that's
well,
hard.
And then
that's
on
not
the Chiefs offense, you have guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling. like random guys who you'll just be like, oh, he plays on that? I forgot. And
right.
They'll like go off randomly. So you're right. Anything can happen.
How about Kadarius Toney? Did he just talk his way out of the league, period? No.
Well, you heard he said that wasn't what he said. He said it was edited. Now, I don't know if I believe that, but he said the video was edited together. He was talking, I don't know. He said he was talking about somebody else, another team, and they edited together to make it look like that's what he said, and he was talking about the Kansas City Chiefs when he wasn't. So that's his defense right now, AI edit. I don't know. Brock Purdy, 248.5. What do you think? Over, under?
Barrett?
I'm going to go with the over with that also.
All right. You said it's a defensive game, but this is sounding like a shootout to me.
No. These teams, it'll be a lot of almost I should have scored, but you don't score. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
A lot of field goals. You know what I'm saying? They're going to move the ball in between the 20s, but it's going to be a lot of full field goals, a lot of almost I should have scored. Defense takes over, in the red zone. I mean, it's going to be that type of game. They're still going to be able to run the ball a lot, but it's just going to be one of those games where it's not going to be a lot of scoring. Trust me.
Okay.
I like over 248.5 for Purdy, just because that's pretty low when you look back at the, even though he hasn't played his best games throughout the postseason, he's thrown for over that. In his most recent game, he had 267, 252 in his first playoff game. So, yeah, I'll take over 248.5.
And plus, it's not going to be raining.
It's a dome. Like,
I'm going to go under.
Under.
Yeah.
I feel like you wait to hear what Barrett and I say, and you just shut me up. I'm contrarian.
It's just based on what I think Christian McCaffrey and Debo is going to do on the ground. So yeah. I think Brock Purdy is going to have a good efficient game where he has like 235, 20, 21 for 27 type of day. But again, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to get off, and we're going to get to that now. Running backs, Christian McCaffrey, 90.5. I'm going over.
Over.
Right? The zone with the zone running scheme and what they like to do, mm-hmm. I think he's going to get the rock a lot. He always gets the rock a lot anyway. But he's going to get the rock a lot. They're not good against his own running scheme, so I think he's going to have a big day to go. Whether they win or lose, I think he's going to get over 100.
And plus, they don't have to save him for anything. You know, this is it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah.
What about receiving yards for McCaffrey? Over 34.5, would you take it?
No.
No?
No. Why? I think it's going to be close, but
okay.
I would go now.
Okay.
I think it's more of his damage is going to be done on the ground. He'll be an option in the passing game. But again, I think Debo is going to get some of the things Christian would usually get in the passing game and take him for distance.
Fair.
Now, looking at Brock Purdy, 12.5, and the last game we just saw him and the way he ran against Detroit, 12.5 yards, that might be a good bet too. You know, the way he just took over, he's like, all right, you guys are going to try to blanket my receivers.
I actually like that. I think Brock's going to get over 12.5. Also.
Yeah.
I think because it's in his mind.
Right.
It's in his mind because you could tell in the second half, Kyle Shanahan said, you better take off.
Yep.
You got to. Like, if you get in pressure, you get to your first two looks, go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the case in this game because Kansas City is going to play a lot of man, is going to deal with a lot of man stuff.
Yep. You're
not going to expect Brock Purdy to get in and do anything. So I think he gets, two or three carries that go for 10, 15 yards because he's focused on doing so.
Yep.
I could see it. I could also see Mahomes hitting over 26.5 rush yards.
Absolutely.
I saw when I was looking up the stats for this game, Mahomes is like the number one in the league for scrambles and getting first downs off scrambles. So that can rack up your rush yards pretty easily. So especially against a 49ers front like they have. I can see him scrambling a bunch.
He gets hell-bent on converting, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's mm-hmm. Look, I got to stay out on the field. I got to make sure we convert this third down. It's nothing for him to run and get the first down. And I just don't like him. I don't like the fact that, he's one of those guys that he does everything right, man. You know what I'm saying?
Look, you don't like that.
He just does everything right, man. And when he gets over to when he's almost to the sideline, he like puts the ball right over, turns around. I mean, like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's pure hate.
It is, bro.
That's just pure hate.
I'd rather you be talking smack to me than to handle himself the way he handles himself.
That's just pure hate. Tight ends. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Noah Gray. 69.5, 49.5, 12.5. What do you like in this game? I think, Devin, you already said you like George Kittle to have a pretty good day. You think he's going to go over 49.5?
I do, especially given that number. I know he had a quiet week in the NFC Championship game, but he regularly receives over that number in games. So I think he does. Wait, what did you say Travis Kelce's number was?
69.5.
So now it's going up 71.5.
Okay.
I would still take over. He's had over 70 in every postseason.
How about catches? 6.5.
Oh, he's going to blow that away.
Absolutely. He's 11 for 11 last week for AFC championship.
He'll blow that away.
And I know I shouldn't be, but I'm always nervous because to pick Travis in this game because he's going to get bracketed the entire time. But the crazy thing is the Baltimore Ravens have as good of a inside as you have with Patrick Queen, Rolando McClain, Kyle Hamilton, mm-hmm. and he still went crazy.
Crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right, with Travis Kelce, like, it doesn't matter who's covering him. Like, he and Mahomes just have a connection. And he's so good that he finds a way to catch balls, even if he's not open at all.
Does it frustrate you? Since you had some hate, I'm going to have some hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Travis Kelce doesn't look fast.
Nope.
Doesn't look explosive.
No.
And that he's this dominant. Like, does, this is the most annoying thing in the world. But I think when I'm that in a competition with a player.
I think he's so big. Like, he's a big person.
But he's not like a ripped up, cut up guy.
No, he's just like regular, gigantic.
You saw? Did you see Patrick Mahomes with his shirt off after the AFC Championship game? Yeah. To get beat by a guy that looks like that would piss me the F off.
Look at Brock Purdy.
Are you kidding me? But Brock Purdy, yes. But Patrick Mahomes had a gut. What are we doing here? How do you have a beer gut? And so, you're beating me all over. I would be pissed
if I lose to the guy that looks like that. So respectfully, Patrick Mahomes, like, if you really watch his mannerisms when he plays, there's a funny video. I'll show it to you guys in the break. But if you're listening, just, like, go find it. It's like a making fun of Patrick Mahomes, essentially. Like, he really does, like, run on his tiptoes. Sorry.
Goofy, no, man.
He, throws on the side. Right. His helmet always fits weird. Like,
we got a wrap, but we'll get more to some Patrick Mahomes hate a little bit. Because, again, the guy who looks like that to beat me just infuriates me. All right, this is the Sunday Spread. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Big game edition. All right, prop it or drop it. All right, Kev Lapka is going to come in, give us some great props. Kev, it's Super Bowl time. It's big money time. What you got for us?
Big money time. Let's do it. I know you guys are going to be betting a lot on this game, so we're looking for some ways to make some big time money on the big game. Let's start with Super Bowl MVP. Let's go outside of the two quarterbacks, outside of Patrick Mahomes, outside of Brock Purdy. Let's find some value here at Super Bowl MVP. In my opinion, I think the only way that the 49ers win is if CMC goes off, and I don't think there's any scenario, honestly, Sean, that Brock Purdy wins Super Bowl MVP. So CMC is plus 450
hey, such
Super Bowl MVP. So plus 450 is like the best value on the board for anything related to Christian McCaffrey for him to win Super Bowl MVP. Are you guys going to prop or drop that CMC Super Bowl MVP plus 450?
It'd be a travesty if I said drop it. You know what I'm saying? You have to say, you know, you got to prop that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to prop that. I mean, he should be MVP of the league, of the NFL, not just the big game. So, yeah, I'm going to go prop that.
I'm going to prop it as well. I agree with Barrett. And then you look at the Chiefs' defense. They're great, but they're 28th in rush defense against running backs. So CMC's time to go off to earn that MVP, even if it's not regular season MVP. You can get it for one game.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like a safe bet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's the 49ers win, Christian McCaffrey. If there was an NFC championship game MVP, it probably would have been Christian McCaffrey. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Christian's going to have a big game. Or I'll sneak this in for you, though, Kev. Deebo Samuel's 25-1. Remember I said it.
Okay.
25-1.
25-1 to win the MVP. Dang. Deebo Samuel's. That's a bet that I'm putting in.
Okay.
No question.
What you got?
Wait, so Sean, am I right that it seems like there's almost no way Brock Purdy wins? I wouldn't say no way, but it seems unlikely that if the Niners were to win, Brock Purdy's MVP. It seems like that's the case, right?
Yes, and he's always the in spite of guy. In spite of.
But even when he deserves the MVP, I don't think people want to give him the MVP.
Like, no.
He's, even when he plays at a high level, I don't think people want to give it to him. So I think there's some bias there, right? Like, if Christian,
it's not bias, it's hate.
If Christian and Brock have sort of an equally valuable game, everyone's going to say it's just because of Christian.
Yep.
They're not going to be like, well, Brock also, no, it's just Christian. Yeah. It was Christian. And, like, Christian could do nothing and then them still be like, that's because you play action off of Christian.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So it's going to be Brock has to overwhelmingly play better than the rest of his teammates, which is usually isn't
the case for the quarterback. Which he hasn't done, really. Ever, so
you're trying to get me going. I'm not gonna fall for the bait. Devin's trying to get me going, and see, I was like,
he looked over here like,
my temperature just rose when you said that. My temperature just okay, Cam Newton over here. Jeez Louise, whatever. Keep going, Kev.
All right, so you mentioned Deebo Samuel's 25-1 to win Super Bowl MVP. So BetMGM has a really cool part of their app here where you can bet on players to get Super Bowl records. So records to be broken in the Super Bowl that have happened in the past. This one is most rushing yards by a wide receiver. So the record for that is 54. So you can bet on any wide receiver to record 50 or more rushing yards for the Super Bowl record at plus 1100. So given what Deebo Samuel has done throughout his career, and especially a couple of times throughout the year, specifically against the Eagles with those rushing yards, if they deploy him in the way that Sean thinks they may, is it achievable for him to get 54 yards and break that Super Bowl record at plus 1100?
Wow, you know what? That's interesting, simply because how they use him. He's a jack of all trades. They can put him at the running back position. Him and jet sweeps. They run a jet sweep, hand it off to him. I mean, it's but see, that kid's kind of iffy, because if they hand it off to him, it's a rushing prop. But if he's running by on a jet sweep and he pitches it to him, that's a passing stat. So it's kind of iffy when you think about it, but I'll tell you what. Just put a couple dollars down on that. I would prop it. I wouldn't put a lot on it, but I would prop it.
I think they're going to do some tricky things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think he has 2 weeks. A great chance of winning the MVP, but at the same time, he hasn't done that all year long. Like, because Christian is there, just give it to Christian whenever you want to run the ball, mm-hmm. and they give it to Deebo running-wise sometimes in the red zone. So he doesn't really break big runs. He may get a touchdown out of it, which I think he'll get, but he doesn't really break a big.
Well, I mean, with the way their offense is constructed, they do a lot of that in third and two, third and three, in from 20 to 20.
I'm going to drop it. Again, against the Detroit Lions, it was 3 carries, 7 yards for Deebo. Like, he didn't get the.
I'm trying to say what the Eagles, he had like what? He had like.
Yeah, what's the most rushing yards he's had? This season. I don't know that off the top of my head. And it depends on the odds on this, but I think I'm going to prop it, because even if it's not a designed run, like, I could see him find, because that is the Chiefs' defensive weakness, like, I could see him finding a hole and just going for it.
Yep.
Maybe not all 55 yards on one play, but I think he could rack that up plus like one big run plus a few red zone runs. Sure. Why not? Did we lose Kev?
No, you got me.
Oh.
And I got the Deebo Samuel numbers. So his most rushing yards in a game this year was against the Rams in September when he had 38. I thought he had more in that Philly game. He only had 22 yards on 3 carries. But I think when you're looking at that number 54, you know it's not going to be a volume number. Like, you know he's not getting 7 carries, but he has to break like a big one. And that's
possible, right?
Like, he could break a big time 50 plus yard rushing touchdown and then get another one. So that's the only way he gets that number.
Yeah.
I'm
going to prop it because of that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I can't. I'm dropping it. Again, I'm going to drop it. I can't do it. That's too risky for me. It's too risky for my blood. I'm sorry. I only got a certain amount of money to put up in this game, okay?
And then when I get a text. Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, I got it right. It would be like the first play of the game. That always happens to me. All right, what else you got?
All right, let's go back to Deebo Samuel and another 49ers player we talked about, George Kittle. So Deebo Samuel to score twice in the game, which he did against Philadelphia, plus 1,200. George Kittle to score twice, plus 1,500. This is more of a would you rather. If you had to bet on one player to score twice, George Kittle or Deebo Samuel at that value, who are you taking?
I'm taking Deebo. He's just the more explosive player. I think they want to get him the ball. And, Kittle, like I said, Kittle's fine with just going out there. He's not going to make a ruckus if he's not getting a rock. He's fine with going out there and blocking. You know, give him a first down every once in a while. He's good with that. So I'm going to go Deebo. Deebo wants the ball. He commands the ball.
I'm going to go is Deebo or George Kittle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Deebo, just given that the Chiefs aren't good against the run. I think that's probably their weaker point defensively, so I'll go Deebo.
Yeah, like I said, Deebo is my dark horse MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That means multiple touchdowns. So, I you know what I mean? That this isn't an either or for me. This is a yes. I'm going to bet Deebo to have multiple touchdowns anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got Deebo getting multiple touchdowns.
Absolutely.
And winning this MVP.
He's willed them. He's willed them this season. He's the one that's willed them to be as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's what I got. What else you got, Kev?
Wait, Sean, have you seen – so you know how the 49ers walk out to the boombox, right? Mm-hmm. They bring out the boombox. They play music. Have you seen the thing on Twitter that they could do, like, the funniest thing possible and play a Taylor Swift song as they walk out on the boombox?
Wow.
Are they going to do that, Sean?
No. What it actually was, it was a Kanye West song that they was going to play.
I was going to say that would be really funny.
I made that famous. Remember that line with Kanye said?
Yeah.
I made that famous. They said he should come out to that, and that would be the funniest thing ever.
Wow.
And first of all, it would be the greatest troll of all time. It would be a great troll.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to do that. Like, there's no need to poke that bear, and there's no need to disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Taylor Swift don't deserve that, but it would be the funniest thing ever. The prettiest thing ever.
And Debo gives two about poking the bear.
That's true.
He gonna say whatever he wanna say, how he gonna say it. Yes, he will, yes.
Yeah, 49ers as a whole don't really care about being disrespectful.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I can't see it. Especially because those players like Travis Kelce. Right? Like they have good relationships with Travis Kelce, George Kittle especially.
Yep.
Have good relationships.
So we're not gonna see what we saw before the AFC Championship game.
No.
Travis Kelce like beefing with Justin Tucker. The kicker. He's not gonna start fights with who's the 49ers kicker again?
Moody. He's a rookie punk kicker. He ain't even got a name right now. Oh no. No.
He'd be like terrified if Travis Kelce got near him.
Like, yeah, yeah, sir. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm just here. Please. Yeah, exactly. No.
How about the Travis Kelce fade thing?
Oh my God. That was did you see his answer? Like honestly, shout out Travis Kelce because his answer for media or like the first opening night when they do all the questions at the Super Bowl in Vegas. He was like, and you guys had to do that on February
1st. Right. Yes. Oh, black is
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost got
like,
him.
You guys to be so dirty on that one.
Yeah, dirty. Because, again, that's like a lot of the Taylor stuff has nothing to do with Taylor and the things around.
Yeah.
The Travis Kelce got the swag surf was an article. Look, the new dance that Taylor Swift is doing with the I was doing that in college.
Don't do that.
15,
yeah,
20
that.
Years
yeah.
ago, we was doing that. What are we doing here, man?
Bro, I've had a fade since I was 2 years old, bro.
Yeah.
Right? When we could get fades.
Right, right.
Right? Like, we had fades when we could get fades. Like, wow. What are we doing here, Travis?
And then,
brought the fade.
And Shannon Sharp, you know what I'm saying? He said, at what point did you turn around and say you went to a black barber and say, all right, I want the number two. Yeah, that fade right there.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the Travis.
Right.
What? What? The little bootsy fade? Like, come on.
Right, right.
Stop it. Yeah, I know. Just the annoyance that comes around the Super Bowl, Kev.
Right.
I got you. I got you. Damn, I really started a conversation there. All right, let's go to some first touchdown scores. This is one of my favorite bets of the Super Bowl. I've hit this in the past. I hit OBJ with the Rams a couple years ago. It's fun. You're with a lot of people. It's the most exciting bet in the game, it feels like, for me. So we're going to go there here. The last time these two teams played, it was a surprise first-time touchdown score. It was Patrick Mahomes who rushed it in that 2020 Super Bowl in which the Chiefs won. So this year, Mahomes is plus 2,200 to score first. But also, we talked about Brock Purdy rushing yards. He's plus 4,000 to score first on a little scamper. Are you taking either of those? Are you propping either of those with a little sprinkle with Mahomes to score first, rushing plus 2,200, or Brock Purdy to score first, rushing plus 4,000?
You know, that's tough.
4,000, that's a lot, but.
Hell nah. I'll say it for y'all. Hell nah. No.
If
a quarterback scored the first touchdown?
If
hell
I
nah.
had to choose one, I would choose Patrick Mahomes, obviously. But, I don't even think I'd do that. I never hit on first touchdown scores, ever. It's always some, random person, I feel.
And it doesn't get any more random than Purdy, though.
It doesn't get any more random than that. Very true. I could be Kyle Juszczyk.
Right, right.
I wonder what those odds are. Like, nah, I'm sorry, Kev. I can't do it.
Yeah, I got to drop it. But, I mean, there's nothing like, going and putting a couple dollars over here. Like, let me slide this over here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when the odds are like that, you could honestly bet, a $2 on it and make, if it hits, make some
money. See, I have the opposite thinking when it comes to first touchdown people. Because first touchdown people are like, I could start my day off great. Mm-hmm. I just think about starting my day off bad. Right? Like, every other thing, when you pick yards and you pick touchdowns, you got a whole game for that to potentially happen.
Right.
Like, for you to lose your first bet in the first 3 minutes of a game just pisses me off.
But then if it hits.
That is true. Then it's hit. Then you can really make bets. But again, it don't be hitting.
It never be hitting.
You know what I mean? Never. So
that's Yeah, that's like a unicorn bet there, right? You know, Brock Purdy scoring a touchdown, the first touchdown.
It'd be kind of hilarious.
That is a unicorn pick right there.
Yeah. What else you
Sean,
got
how often do they run the tush push? Like, do they never run it, right? Because they just rely on CMC. Like, there's have they run the tush push at all?
They did, and he got hurt.
Yeah, but it wasn't the tush push. It was a sneak.
Yeah.
Like, they run the sneak from time to time. They don't have anybody push them afterwards. They run a sneak from time to time. But for the most part, it's give Christian the ball and let him run behind Trent Williams. And, you know what I mean? Like,
that's simple math to me.
Yeah, that's their version of the tush push. That's their version of we're going to get this 90-something percent of the time in 1 yard or less. So, no, they're not running the tush push.
All right, we got one more with a minute left. Pretty straightforward one. Travis Kelce to have the most receiving yards in the game is +275. Are you propping or dropping that?
I'm gonna drop that.
Dropping.
Yeah.
The way y'all said that, yeah. Deb rolled her eyes like.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna drop that simply because you know he's gonna be the target. He's the guy that Patrick Mahomes wants to go to, and you got too many dynamic guys on the other side of the ball. That are just horses, you know what I'm saying? Brandon Ayuk, you know, was a horse. Deebo Samuel's a horse, you know, so I just can't see, you know. And Rashee Rice is good enough that he could be that guy, even on his team. So, yeah, I can't see him being the leading receiver.
With y'all. Allowing Travis to have a big game in this game would be fire that coach. Like, yes. What are we doing? Like, Fred Warner trail him everywhere. Like, that's it. Like, and I know they have zone concepts with their linebackers, but no. Yeah. You cannot make the mistake that the Baltimore Ravens made.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I can't see him leading. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't lead his own team.
Right.
Yeah, and I think even if he does, I think Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel are going to have more than him. So
I'm so glad it's the big game. I'm so glad.
Okay, can I say – I've been thinking about these last 2 weeks. I don't like that there's a week off. I think that they should do away with that because in my opinion.
Okay, hold it. We got to take a break. Fine. Kev's telling us to take a break. We're going to come right out to your grievance.
And
all right.
And I'll jump on.
We'll come right back to your grievance. All right. Listen, the Sunday spread. Dev's about to be mad. Come back to it. All right, we're back. Sunday spread. Last segment before the big game. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks. Dev has a grievance. We wasn't happy before we went to break. Go ahead.
So yeah, I was just I feel like now it's not genuine because I'm not as fired up as I was in the moment.
Come on.
It just feels fake. But I just think that they should do away with the week before. I know that there's, you know, awards and the Pro Bowl and all that, but the Pro Bowl's not even the Pro Bowl anymore. I don't think I watched more than 10 minutes of the Pro Bowl games. There are some funny moments, but you can usually just catch those on social media. I just feel like the week in between kind of takes steam out of the Super Bowl because it feels like it's been so long. Like, I just don't care as much. Kind of like, I don't know. It just feels like, all right, like, let's do this. Let's get the big game on the road.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I won Super Bowl 40 and we didn't have that break. So we beat the Broncos on Saturday and we flew out on Monday morning.
Okay.
We flew out that Monday morning, so it was different, you know, because we really didn't get a chance to really enjoy the festivities of being in Detroit for the Super Bowl. We got right into getting ready for the game, you know. We got there, and, you know, we didn't have a curfew for, like, the first 3 days, you know. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we didn't have a curfew. We had curfew on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then hit the game on Sunday. So when I say curfew, we had to be in by, I think, 12 o'clock. But, you know, it was about business, you know, and we were about our business, you know, trying to get Bussy a Super Bowl. So a lot of guys didn't go out to start off anyways. But, you know, I think it was better because we transitioned from playing, got back, packed everything up. We really didn't get a sense that, all right, you know, here we go. You know, we got our families, and our families came up on Thursday. We flew out Monday. Families were allowed to come up on Thursday. And from that point on, you know, it was time to get ready. It was time to.
Did you feel like you were ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I don't even remember when there wasn't a bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I forgot I don't
that. I forgot.
that there weren't buys. Yeah.
And
I'm
sure they do it for a number of reasons, and I know that Super Bowl week is crazy. Like, I saw Kyle Shanahan said that the 49ers, before they even went to Vegas earlier this week, they were prepared because they took their first week after the NFC Championship game to prep for the game. So, like, you do have that extra time just because I know Super Bowl week is crazy. I just think it takes the wind out of the sails in a way. It's kind of like, okay, like, it just feels like it's been a long time. Like, let's go. You don't remember the championship games as much, kind of, which can play into the narrative of the big game. I don't know. I think I would prefer 1 week.
Yeah, because our game was February 5th. My Super Bowl was February 5th in 2006. So let me see the AFC championship game.
I don't mind the bye because I feel like healthy wise, you get everyone healthy, you get everyone fully prepared.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Like, I trust me, I get the benefits of it. I just think from a fan perspective and to keep the momentum kind of rolling with it, it would be better if they just kept it.
And for us, the Pro Bowl being the week before is just the stupidest thing ever.
It's very stupid.
Like, I know the Pro Bowl hasn't been anything for a decade, but at the same time, all right, so, like, 10 to 15 players who are in the Super Bowl aren't going to be at your Pro Bowl?
Right.
What is that? Right. What kind of Pro Bowl is that?
Well, I think all-star games and Pro Bowls are stupid to begin with, but that's just me.
But they used to be great.
They used to be great.
When everyone played them and everyone cared.
Yeah. Like, now I just feel like no one cares. Like, it's just, like, in any sport, the all-star game, I think, is a waste of time.
Yeah. I think this is a totally separate conversation. But the NBA got it right for that 1 year when they decided, and they're going away from it this year, when they decided we're going to have a point total and you have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so then at the end of the game, it was like, oh, this is fun because the team has to make it to 150. And it got exciting for one, at least quarter. You know what I mean? And then went away. All right, let's get to some of the fun props. I flip a coin right now. What are you picking?
Tails.
Always tails.
Yeah, tails never fails. But I feel like, why is that? It's still a 50% chance, right?
Right.
Like, you know, why is tails never fails something that's always stuck in people's
head? See, I didn't know
that.
I thought that I was in the minority choosing tails.
No.
Really?
I've always heard tails never fails.
Yep.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Like, heads or tails, which one is it more often?
I feel like it's heads.
Heads never tails probabilities. This is just in general. Heads never tails probably. Is it actually 50-50? A flip coin has 50.8% chance on the same side that you flip it on, allegedly.
Okay.
So that means they usually flip it with heads.
I guess.
So it's 50.4 chance that it's going to be heads.
But it's definitely tails never fails. That's what we pick. Gatorade colors. This is what everyone tries to figure out. Orange in the lead. Not in the lead. Orange is +325. For some reason, purple's in the lead. Purple Gatorade. +275. Blue is +375. Clear water, 11-1. No Gatorade bath at all, 20-1. What would y'all pick? Red, by the way, +400.
I'm gonna go clear / water. I don't know, because I think if the Chiefs win, I don't know what color was it last year. I don't even know. Like, I just feel like they would have like water on their side.
Why would you think they would have water?
I don't know. There's literally no.
It was purple last year.
Oh, that's why purple.
Oh, there. That's why it's in the lead. They think Kansas City's going to win. They think it'll be purple again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a feeling that it's going to be like clear or like Propel, like a clear Gatorade type drink.
All right.
Oh. It's barely not backed by anything.
Yeah,
like
and
no
not a fun
stats,
take at all.
No analysis. Just vibes.
No, just think
I think it's
going
to be water.
Water. What you think? That's like, I don't care. Do you remember the color for your Super Bowl?
No, I don't. No, I don't. In fact, I was one trying to distract the coach when they were going to throw it on him. I'm trying to distract him. I'm sitting right in front of him, trying to distract him a little bit when they came up behind him. And then my boy Max Starks, it was Max Starks and Marvell Smith were, you know, dumping the Gatorade on him. And as they're dumping the Gatorade on him, Max, his hand slips and it hits the coach in the head. The bucket hit him in the head.
Oh, my God. So, like, if Andy Reid wins, I feel like he's gotten enough Gatorade baths in his coaching career that he'd be like, just, like, keep it water. Yeah. I'm still going with this team, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm going red just because both teams are red.
Now, I wonder, and this is a take for a future, because Jim Harbaugh, you see Michigan, he avoided the bath.
Oh, did
they tried? He doesn't do the bath. He doesn't do it, period. And he avoided
it's
the
no
bath.
Fun.
They tried to sneak him, and then he knew it was coming, and he dodged it. Now, if you were able to dodge the bath, does it count as a bet?
Well,
does it count as clear?
Big Red's not dodging anything if they win. I think Shanahan's a little more nimble. The Big Red ain't dodging.
No. Kev said he eventually got him. But see, the main shot, they didn't get
him.
So
does
maybe
that
they
count
got him
as the plus 2,000, the no Gatorade bath, if they dodge it?
See, this is just
makes you think.
That's just for someone who loses the bet. Like, no, I have an argument.
I heard there's no more. There's no props. For how many times I showed Taylor Swift.
What's his name? Taylor Heineke.
I heard this. They don't have props for that simply because it can really be influenced
the
by the producer.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer wanted to pull a fast one. They could be like, sure.
Yeah.
Gotta let this hit.
Exactly. All right. This is some fun prop bets. We got the national anthem, the amount of Usher songs. What Usher song do you want to hear the most? You got one?
Yeah.
That's fan favorite.
Bro, I don't even know any Usher songs. I'm not a
was like my sixth grade anthem.
Bro, I'm not a music guy.
What?
I am not a music guy.
Usher. Yeah. What do you mean you don't know any Usher? Look at him. That's enough. That tells us enough. You don't have to finish, Barrett. Right. You don't have to finish on that. Jeez Louise.
Jeez. They had a little dance on it. They had a little dance with it.
They had. Well, that's all he does is dance. He got a little dance to
everything. No, I mean, it's.
I'm sorry. I'm going to save you.
The one with the dance.
I'm going to save you, Barrett. I'm going to save you. All right. Let's wrap this up. All right. Deb, I'll start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a score. Give us who you think is going to win.
All right.
A little final analysis. Right.
I'm going to go. What did I say the final score is going to be before? I don't know if I'm going to stay with that. I'm going to say the Chiefs are going to win 28-17.
28-17 Chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Barrett Brooks.
Wow. I was going to go. Right. I was going to go 24-17 Chiefs.
24-17 Chiefs.
Write it down.
Now, guys, all year long you've been against me.
Oh, is this? Do you have this prepared?
I don't. I didn't know you guys both because both of you actually picked the 49ers to win your Super Bowl in your brackets that we did before.
Well,
the
also had the
49ers
playing the Bills.
I didn't think you were going to disrespect me in front of my face during this final.
What do you think we've been doing all season long?
Big game show. You were just with me, and now you're not with me. You're jumping off the bandwagon. So now I feel like I have to say
something.
You're
never on the bandwagon.
Well, you got on the bandwagon for a second when you picked them to win the entire thing. Listen, I tried to tell you all year long. Mm-hmm. Tried to tell you against the Eagles. Tried to tell you during the playoffs. I tried to tell you what the 49ers were. And once again, you're going against me, despite me to be petty, to poke the bear. The 49ers are going to once again win this game. And they're going to win by double digits.
Oh, wow.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think the 49ers win this game. I think offensively they play great, and I think they win this game 34-20.
Okay.
I think offensively.
14 points?
14 points.
Okay.
Offensively, they're going to be flowing. I think offensively they're going to be doing the damn thing. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are only going to have the ball for about 23 to 25 minutes this game, and the 49ers are going to dominate the time of possession with how much they run Christian McCaffrey and how efficient their offense is going to end up being. Now, a lot of people in this game are going to say the 49ers, hey, Kyle Shanahan's going to blow it. It's 28-3. He blew it, and this time he's not going to blow it. This time he's going to hold it down and host a Super Bowl and be a Super Bowl champion. The 49ers have played poorly in their first two playoff games. And because of that, and because they had another week off, this is going to be the best game they played in their entire playoff run. They're going to be closer to what they were in the regular season. Christian McCaffrey is going to ball out. Deebo Samuels is going to win the MVP in this game. And Brock Purdy is going to Disney World. Hear, hear.
Do you want us to clap or is that?
Heck no.
Boo. No, look, I could totally see that playing out because as we talked about earlier in the show, like, people are surprised that the Chiefs are favored. You have to remember the regular seasons that these guys had. The 49ers are a dominant team, and I could see them dominating the Chiefs in this one. So I'm not going to argue with you on that. I just learned my lesson in the AFC Championship game. You can never count out Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
You should have learned your lesson going against me in the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Can we wrap the show? Is it over yet?
All right. We wrapping up.
A bad habits. There it is.
Okay. Bad. You had to look that up. I had to.
What is that? Your answer to Usher?
Yes.
Exactly. You've already lost.
10 minutes
Barrett.
Later.
You've already been judged. Okay. Listen, we'll be back again next week to recap this whole thing. I'm gonna be making fun of them, or they're gonna be making fun of me, and maybe this guy will know two more Usher songs that he can recite for us. That is your homework.
Bear's been quiet over there.
Yeah, he's right.
Researching.
Researching like a mug. Yeah.
You didn't even name, whatever. You know what I mean? I thought you at least going to go to one of the original My Ways.
It's not even.
Make me one of something. This guy. Sunday Spread. Bear Brooks, Sean Bell, Devin Caney, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Sunday Spread with Super Bowl champion Barrett Brooks, Devin Caney, and your host, Sean Bell, on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.